Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
All your transgression you receive the atomic bird to the ass!
Bird!
Oh boy, that sounded bad.
I've fallen and I can't get up!
Shazoo's the turtle! king to fill the terrible and the knights of the round table.
Oh, nothing happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. A field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our sides. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. Is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. Grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway
late night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table with King Shaziz the Terrible and all the knights that joined us in. You know, I woke up this morning, and the very first thing I did early this morning was turn on the TV and start watching the news. Then as I was watching the news, I picked up the old iPod, and I jumped up there on YouTube and seen what's going on out there in the conspiracy world slash, you know, alternative media. One of the things that I had noticed right out of the gate was right bright and early in the morning, I suddenly had this sickening feeling in my stomach about the state of all of the humanity, the things that are going on in the world, and you know, it made me question whether or not the news media was out there to create a mental illness above and beyond all the things that they do in a daily basis. You know, people out there becoming so depressed that they can't even see straight, you know, and struggling through everything under the sun between sickness and sadness and children going off to wars and all this kind of stuff. And I was thinking to myself, I said, you know, there could be a point where we could just be so far over the edge that there's no turning back, and you know, there's just no hope to save it all. And I had to shake myself there and say, you know, what are you saying? You can't just lay down and you can't just give up because everything looks like it's all lost. So, whatever kind of solution we got to come up with, we got to come up with it quick. And the only thing that I could possibly think about with you know, the limited resources that I have, now I'm not saying I'm completely out of resources, but because I've got a lot of wonderful friends and a lot of good knights of the round table and dames now on the round table, so we have, together, we have multiple resources. So I figured, you know, on today's show, to at least start it off, I'd like to pose the question, you know, what would it take to create the most profound letter of peace and to send it to every single representative, to every single nation, to every single government, parliament, or whatever, send this letter from the people in multiple languages to tell them, you know, look, hey, we see what's going on in the world. We see your track record. We're not very impressed with it. And, it, you know, it's time that this is kind of like a friendly, we got to do something and we got to do it now kind of thing. Does anybody, any one of the knights out there disagree with the fact that, you know, we've got a serious problem and we really seriously need to find some sort of solution, even if it be it simple, such as a profound letter of peace sent out to the world?
That's exactly what we've got to do, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
You check the news before you come on to Knights of the Round Table all the time?
Yeah, I do. I basically want to kind of just see what's going on in the world, you know? Sometimes it's really painful to watch the news. Sometimes it's really frustrating, you know, especially, you know, everybody knows my Achilles heel is global warming. You get me talking on global warming, and I get riled up because that's the biggest fraud ever perpetrated on humanity in the history of time.
Shannon's got global warming about 12 inches thick outside, haven't you, darling?
Yeah.
I do.
Well, did you hear they shot Obama?
What?
No.
Maybe tomorrow, then. If he heard it yet.
Let's pray to God that they never do that. I don't want no holiday named after Obama. That name just doesn't roll off the tongue very good.
One thing to remember too is no matter what a man's getting up to, you know, wishing bad things to happen to him is pretty bad.
Yeah, and it's kind of counterproductive to the whole cause because. You know, guys, in the long run, violence only begets violence, and I've said it a million times that peace has never come from the end of the barrel of a gun, and no bomb out there ever brought about peace. Now, of course, you know, bombs, guns, wars, they brought about submission to people that, you know, they were so tired of losing everything that they had and dying that they, out of fear, gave up. But there was no peace in there. It was a bide your time until the next time I can sock you in the eye kind of thing for what you did to me. And it's just a never-ending perpetual cycle. You know, I seen a video yesterday, or the day before yesterday, I can't remember, but there was a couple little girls, and this guy was asking them about peace in Israel, and the little girls were talking about how they never want peace with Israel because their mom and their dad was killed by them. All right, well, if you think about this long and hard enough, you'll understand that, number one, this is the worst form of child abuse towards children, is the war that goes on out there. But number two, you're creating future warriors that will be killing the future children's parents, and so the never-ending cycle is just going to continue. And until we figure out a way to break the chains, I mean, even if it's something as simple as a letter, I know it sounds like a dreamer's world when I say the most profound letter of peace to the world, but you know, what else do we have besides love?
Well, we have the power of the spoken word.
Yeah.
And the power of the written word. And what you're saying about writing a letter, what needs to be done is, well, we need to sit down and write it. It's that simple. You know, I mean, we can...
technology.
We do. We have the power of technology, which is something that we're all working on here as well. You know, we're all into the alternative energy. Well, yeah, every one of us here is into alternative energy, aren't we?
How quickly something spreads on Facebook.
Well, I would like to propose and ask that a favor from all the knights and myself that we do just that. We all sit down individually, write our own separate letters, and then actually combine all these letters into one profound letter of peace and just send it out. I mean, what damage could we do by sending some love to the world? You know, a bit of hope. It's what needs to be happening.
No, exactly. So during the week I'll coordinate that, and I'll make sure I'll give everyone a bit of a push and make sure that we all get it done. Simple.
We'll put on top of the letterhead from the Knights of the Round Table.
The Round Table from Shaziz Radio. Yep.
And we just man. Every morning when I get up and I look out into the world, sometimes I wished I didn't own a TV. Sometimes I wished I didn't own a radio or a computer, and I just could just hide in my own little bubble. But if I was that selfish and I did that, then I wouldn't know what was going on. I wouldn't know that the future of my children and my grandchildren would be secure, because, you know, closing a blind eye is not going to clean up the world. Does anybody disagree with that?
Not in the least,
but I don't know if you've seen it, but my mom just wrote on the thing. She said we could have the largest love letter ever written.
That would be awesome. Yeah. I would love.
Isn't that a great way?
Yeah.
I tend to have a bit of a knack with phonetics. So if you like, I'll piece together everybody's letter into one giant letter.
That would be great.
That's great.
You know, as long as it's as long as it's spoken from truth and the heart, then you know, that's how, what better can you? Words are powerful, and we need to get these powerful words into the hands of the folks out there that are doing the damage, you know. Maybe they think they're doing a good thing. Maybe they believe the ends justifies the means, but I've seen this and you've seen it. We've all seen it. What's going on over there in the UK right now, it's a tragedy. I mean, in one sense, I can understand these folks' frustration to the point where, you know, they resorted to literal violence to push themselves into the government buildings. But on the other hand, it's like putting a fast timer on a time bomb. You know, how long before government officials basically regroup and retaliate against these individuals? And I would really seriously hate to see this happen here in the United States, because the difference between the UK and the United States is the average citizen out here has guns. And it's not going to be a pretty scene, you know?
Yeah. See, I do believe we've got a fair chance of being able to complete this task we've set ourselves. At the end of the day, we've proven ourselves to be very very constructive people. You know, we look at virtual labs. You know, between three or four of us, we plugged along through that for 6 months, and then we came across Ken, and everything fell in line, and we got it done.
I don't believe that nothing happens by accident. I believe there's a purpose, a divine intervention, so to speak, coming to play. We've all gathered here, you know, from all different points of the globe, like minds. And you said it, Cultus, many times. You would rather have a barbecue with the Russians than you would have a war, you know?
Of course, yeah. At the end of the day, you know, there's not a person in this world, you know, who has done me wrong to the point where I want to, you know, go over to their country and start shooting them all. Like, that just doesn't even comprehend. Like, that just doesn't happen, you know? Every person is an individual, and just because, you know, one government has gone out of their way to stir up racism and try to get one country to turn against another, we have to be smarter than that. We have to realize that we're being played, and we have to stand up and go, hang on, no, I'm going to go over there and give brother a hug, and I'm going to have a beer with him, and, you know, you over there who's trying to get us to fight, you can go on, you know, off with yourself. We're not interested.
Well, I agree. I agree 100%. You can't say it any better. So what are your thoughts on it, Shannon?
I just want to make sure that when this letter's written, that, like you said, that it comes from the heart, and that's not bashing. You know, people tend to get carried away in their thoughts, and they start bashing. And it's just like as if I were to come, you know, to a child, and if I come to them with loving words, and not words that are like, you did this, you know, but let's do this.
Yeah.
You know, instead of this, let's do this. You know, we love you, and that's the most important thing, is to make sure that it's not a big bashing party.
Yeah,
because all that's going to do is cause, you know, more issues.
The first thing happens when you come to anybody with an accusatory tone, then they automatically jump on the defensive,
and
that's counterproductive to what it is that we're trying to say. We're trying to point out to these individuals, because I know these congressmen and senators out there, they have grandchildren too, and surely they don't want their grandchildren going to war. You know, just looking down into the future and seeing your future grandchildren going into battle with some other people's future grandchildren, to me, I mean, one of the two is going to die, or maybe both, you know, and it's what a incredible waste of life and humanity to lose anybody, you know. It's just, to me, it's mind-boggling. Why would anybody want to set us on a path that would put their children in harm's way? You know, they're always talking about protecting the children, but those bombs that come out of them drones, they're not discriminating. They don't choose between child, mama, papa, aunt, uncle, grandma, or whatever. They don't choose, you know. You know, if there's a bad guy in the general vicinity, you might get the bad guy. You might not get the bad guy. But what a risk that you're taking whenever you push that button to launch one of these into a town to get to the supposed terrorist, you know? To me,
and I mean, there are people that hate. They are so hateful that they can't see past all that.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, we are going to have people that are going to hate so much that they can't see what we're trying to do.
I watched a video just yesterday.
And there's no such thing as a smart bomb, though.
No, I watched a video. I watched a video just yesterday of a young man from the United States, and he's out there, and he puts it in the description of his title that he's going to have really terrible obscene language. And he's on there, and he's cursing everybody up and down the sun, and he's using the people over in their UK as an example for why aren't the American people up in the uproar? Why aren't the American people doing this? And he's calling them every name under the sun, you know, the cowards to be the easiest, most radio-friendly word. But, you know, he's so angry and so frustrated that he's willing to go to war. He's willing to do whatever it takes. And this is the kind of mentality that our elite officials, and I may be wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm a firm believer in the media is a big, and I mean a big reason why all this stuff is still able to occur, because none of these politicians would get by with anything if the media wasn't supporting them behind the scenes, and none of this trash would go about if these people in the mainstream media really had a heart enough to realize that some of the propaganda that they're spewing out is just you know, it's just stirring the pot. It stirs racial divide. It stirs, you know, everything bad. When you watch the news and you feel that sinking feeling in your gut that feels like, you know, all hope is lost, something is seriously wrong with that picture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't everybody jump to the microphone at once. I want nobody to get hurt.
I was kind of spearing off on this on my show earlier in the show, but I was talking about the U.S. citizens, lobbyists getting paid money to vote whichever way the industry wants them or the corporations. And you got the FBI, the CIA, Beak Pharmaceuticals, Flu Shots, Bilderberg, Agenda 21, Globalism, United Nations, Federal Reserve, Domestic Spying, Banker Bailouts, Endless War, Executive Orders, TSA, NSA, Chemtrails, Obamacare, More Taxes, NDAA, False Flag Events, and Feinstein and Mikey Weinstein, and, you know, it just doesn't seem to end. They don't just attack you in one spot. They attack you in all different directions. GMOs, your water.
In my view, to your point,
Lodi. You know, the list just doesn't stop.
In my view, to your point, Muddy, the biggest point on that list that you said there was the financial portion. I believe it should be a federal crime that if you take any money whatsoever while you're in office, whether it be a campaign donation or whatever, it is a crime. I believe that these individuals who go out there and you know, run campaigns should do it on their own merits and not be backed by any corporation, any company. You know, maybe to the extent that somebody throws money in the pot for all politicians, it's basically like a joint pot. You throw it out there, and whatever politician comes to the table to do his campaign, some of the money's come out there to pay the media for their time on the air. But other than that, no money for anything under the sun is accepted by these politicians. And to me, that is the only way that you're going to get the banker's hands out of the political system. That's the only way you're going to get true and fair elections, is when these folks actually have to get out there on their own merits and stand before the people and justify what they're fixing to do when they go to Congress or the Senate or the Parliament, whatever the case may be in your country.
We've discussed this before. Really, at the end of the day, what it requires is those in power to have something they've never, ever had before. accountability.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, they need.
You know,
they need
to make all these promises. They carry on. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Well, okay, let's hold them accountable to those promises. You know, we voted you in to do this. So you have your 2 years in office, or however long you get in office, you have that long to get it done. Simple. You don't get it done, you don't get paid.
Yep. There you go.
That's your accountability. Yeah. Simple. You don't get paid. You don't get your, you know, $40 million for running the country. Done. You get paid $400 a week for doing the job. No bonus. Done. You get a standard wage like everybody else. And when you don't complete, because I'm not that confident they are ever going to, you know, actually do anything useful. So I'm going to say, when you don't complete what you've stated you're going to do in the elections, then boom, you do not get your bonus. You complete those things, no worries. Here's your bonus from the people for doing what you said you would do, and hence why we voted you in the damn first place.
Yep, and the biggest point about what you just said right there was the people. We are the ones who hired these individuals to do what it is that they're supposed to be doing. But it's their track record. It's blatantly obvious that, you know, they'll say whatever it is to appease the average Joe out there. You know, I like Congressman Bongwater because whenever he says he's going to do it, he just tells you right up front, I'm going to screw you on taxes. So elect me because I need to fatten my wallet. Now, if all other politicians were like that, chances are they wouldn't get elected. But, you know what I'm saying? I want to hear an honest politician for once come up here and say, look, I'm just as fed up as you are. And, you know, help me get there and I'll do what I can to try to turn it around. But nine times out of ten, the way the system is set up and the allowance of people to be able to bribe and pay off and do, you know, once a candidate puts his name on the line, they do background checks on this guy to find any dirt that they possibly can. And the dirt usually won't come to light until they get close enough to the election to that they can sink their campaign, you know, so that the other guy wins. So there's a lot of dirty politics, and none of this could be done if it wasn't being funded by somebody from the outside. You see where I'm coming from?
Yep.
These are their profession, right? These politicians, I mean, this is their job, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so if I went into a job, I would be expected to perform as I was told, or as I said I was going to in my resume, or else.
Or you'd be fired.
Or you get fired.
You know,
exactly.
In some professions, yeah, like police officers, you're supposed to be held accountable. You could be held civilly and criminally liable for your actions. But I'm not seeing that anymore. I'm seeing like this big umbrella, this corporate umbrella where the police officers can go out there and do things and they get protected, you know. But if it was just you and I, the average Joe, doing the same thing, you know, a police officer can put his hands on you and it's okay. But if you put your hands on him, if you so much as touch him on the hand or the shoulder, you just assaulted him. And that gives him justification to beat you toothless, you know.
Yeah.
So, something's wrong with the system when it comes down to that. The only thing that... go ahead, Shannon.
Go ahead. I just say, you know, obviously not all police officers are like that. I have, you know, family members that are police officers too, but you're right. I mean, and there is so much of that violence, and they are allowed to get away from it.
Well, and you're right, there are a few good police officers out there, but the system has a tendency to corrupt even the police officers, the politicians, because it's kind of like this, you know, if you go in there, if you make a mistake and somebody covers it up for you, now they have something to hold over your head, and then you need to cover for them, and back and forth until eventually you're in so deep you can't get out, and you've got so many skeletons in the closet, and you're compromised. But, you know, it's got to come a day. Somehow or another, there's got to come a day where these folks are actually held accountable for their actions. the spraying pepper spray in the faces of peaceful protesters, to me, it's just all in all out assault. It's an all in all out violation against their civil rights. They're sitting on public property. They're protesting, using their First Amendment, and this is what they get. And so the frustration builds up in the average Joe, and you know that the frustration has to be building up in the police officer as well. You just put together a concoction for the next riot. You know, that's the recipe. You get the protester angry. You get the police angry. The police are angry because they're not being listened to by the protester. The protester's angry because their rights are being violated. And then suddenly you've got a terrible riot that basically turns violent. And so somebody's got to say, you know, hey, this is a wake-up call. Look what's going on over here at UK. I mean, there were thousands. These police were outnumbered 10 to 1, and they were literally shoving them doors in. They were beating these police up. They were dragging them out. You know, this could happen anywhere. And that's the difference between when you push somebody so far, you know, that their only other option is to retaliate with violence, then that's, you know, what can I say?
I think you said it.
Yeah.
You
know, I just...
That's it, mate.
Y'all know me. I'm King Shaziz the Terrible. I rule with an iron fist. I'm...
Rishi King Shaziz the Terrible.
Let's get out there and knock some heads.
You were in the police department before.
Yeah, I was, and I saw it all,
got
brother.
A little more inside scoop than some people, and, you know, and you also got to think about old Wild Bill for America talking about... talking about the cops with the
ski mask,
with their faces covered and the full military assault suit ups and all that stuff. That stuff was just for like when they were going to do a big drug bust and they knew they were fixing to have, you know, there were guns on the other side and it was going to be a battle.
Well, let me tell you a story, buddy.
Now they just bust anybody's door and half the time it's the wrong door.
Let me tell you a story, Muddy, that has to do with what you just said. And this is a true story. You know, I was a police officer, and my local town right here that I live in was looking to hire a police officer. And so I went up, I put my application in, and it turns out that they went with the sheriff's department, and the mayor told me, he says, well, you know, it's nothing personal, but the sheriff's department's a little bit more intimidating, you know. And that's because the sheriff department, if you look at them these days, the cars that they're driving, they look like they're pretty ominous looking. And the military gear that they wear, you know, I mean, it looks like they're ready for combat. So as opposed to hiring a local peace officer who's going to respect the community, you just bought into the system that we need protection from guys that look like they're, you know, ready for war. You know, a peace officer ain't supposed to be out there looking like he's ready for war. He's supposed to be out there looking like he's ready for peace. That's what I was told. Am I wrong?
Yeah, and if somebody busts your door down because they got the wrong address, they come yelling and screaming, got their face covered, and the man gets up to defend his house, what happens then?
Well, they get shot. And, you know, I'm telling you, if the day ever came where masked guys kicked my door in, I would be the one that would be doing the shooting because I don't know who these guys are, you know? Anybody can holler police. You know, but if you're going to come in hollering police, at least come out with your own face on, you know, and do it right. There's no reason to be kicking my door in any damn way.
That's probably a big part of the reason why people are able to basically semi-dress up as police officers, pretending to be a police officer, and then they pull people over down in Texas. And they've got repeated, you know, cases down in Dallas from a couple of years ago where women were being raped and people were, you know, having their belongings stolen by people who claimed they were police when they weren't.
Well, and that's...
They had to issue an alert. They had to issue an alert to basically tell everybody, if the police try to pull you over, do not pull over in a lone area. Just keep going until you get to a populated area to pull over.
And you touched on something really important there, Thomas, is the fear factor that the average Joe has against the police is... is astronomical. They even if they see a flashing light behind them, you know, they're afraid not to pull over, because I've seen incidents where folks weren't trying to get away. They were just trying to look for a safe place to pull over because there were ditches on both sides. And the next thing you know, we were in hot pursuit and there were guns drawn in the faces of people who weren't trying to get away, weren't trying to do anything bad, and were simply doing something, you know, speeding a few miles over the speed limit. So I've seen guns drawn when guns didn't need to be drawn. I've seen police breaking the law. In the state of Missouri, it clearly states that if you are speeding, you must have both lights and siren activated, and in the process of going to an emergency. Otherwise, you're breaking the law. Well, you see it all day long. They'll use the lights to go through the stop lights, or they'll be flying down the freeway 70, 80 miles an hour in a 65 mile an hour zone. And it's as if, you know, okay, it's all right, but what kind of example are you setting, for one? And the people out there, they understand that the police are getting by with these kind of things, and then they're afraid not to pull over because, you know, nobody wants a gun in their face. But, you know, if you've got this kind of fear against the supposed peace officers, then you seriously have a problem.
Right.
Don't everybody jump to the mic at once. Don't want anybody getting hurt. Might chip a tooth.
Sorry, I got my mouth full.
No, really, guys. I've seen it. I've seen it firsthand. I've seen the things behind the scenes. I've been inside the system. I've seen
the inside
the government.
It certainly goes both ways, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It definitely goes both ways. Like, you know, you sort of allude there that people have a problem if they're afraid of law enforcement, but the peacekeepers can be pretty damn brutal too.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
So I think people have a right and a reason to be afraid in some cases, you know.
Well, the smallest example of that is the search in the vehicles thing. And here in the United States so far, I mean, unless you go underneath the NDAA or the Patriot Act, here in the United States, the way it's supposed to be is that when you get pulled over, unless there's something in plain view or some probable cause or reasonable suspicion that you've committed a crime, they have no reason to search your vehicle. Well,
yeah, but how easy is it to turn around and go, I can smell pot?
Well, here's how they do it, brother.
No, but serious, how easy is that to turn around and say you can smell pot?
No, yeah, well...
You know, you could have just been wafting around out in the street. Like, you know, someone could have been walking down the street with a joint where you've, you know, where you've happened to be pulled over, or the police officer could just say it for the sake of wanting to search your vehicle.
Well, here's how it's actually done. When the police officer's over there, he will, you know, while he's writing his ticket or whatever, and he's getting ready to, you know, finish up his business for whatever he pulled the individual over for, he'll ask them a question, and it's essentially fishing. He'll say, "Do you have any guns or drugs or anything that I need to know about in this vehicle?" And the person first off starts to think, you know, wait a second, what's going on? And then they will ask, when they reply to the officer, "No, I ain't got anything like that." And then the officer will turn around and say, "Well, you don't mind if I search then, do you?" Well, now you put that person in a position where they're getting ready to give up their Fourth Amendment right against illegal search and seizure by thinking, well, if I tell him no, then he's going to think I got something to hide, you know, or whatever. And so 9 times out of 10, everyone out there, whoever gets busted for anything that they may or may not have had in their car, gave the police the permission to search the vehicle. The police in Missouri only have the authority to search the vehicle if you're under arrest and they're doing an inventory search, or if you have committed a crime, or if they follow a trail of evidence, such as I look down and there's a bag of marijuana on the floor, and as I reach down to pick up this marijuana bag, I see this gun sticking out from underneath the seat, or a bloody knife or something like that, and I followed that trail. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah. Now, Mom in the chat room there is just posed something, and I'm wondering, is it lawful in America? Because I know it's lawful here in Australia, especially out in the areas where I am, that if an unmarked police car is trying to pull you over, that you're allowed to put your hazard lights on to acknowledge that they're behind you and continue to a safe place to pull over?
Well, it is lawful, but it is not advisable because of the simple fact is I've seen this firsthand. Individuals that I mentioned earlier that were literally trying to find a safe place to pull over. They weren't speeding. They couldn't have been doing 5 miles an hour. The chief of police in charge of my area down there, he suddenly realized, thinking, well, they're trying to get away. So he speeds the car up, slides sideways beside him, gets out, draws his gun in the face of these individuals, and starts accusing them of trying to run. Now, of course, I exited the vehicle as well, but I did not draw my firearm because I did not feel like I was in any danger at all. There was no danger.
Yep.
I was trying to calm the scene down.
Overzealous police officers, yeah.
Yeah, and so
this is what creates the fear that makes people afraid of peacekeepers. And, you know, I mean, if you know your rights and you think to yourself, well, you know, hey, I'm a bit scared here. I'm just going to put on, I'm going to let them know I've seen them. And I'm going to continue on to a safe place, and then they go and do that. You know, who's really at fault?
Well, it's the police officers at fault because he just escalated that scene to something that it didn't need
to
be.
And
this could be applied to all these government officials out there. Now, you guys know I'm not anti-government. I'm anti-corruption. When we say, you know, these guys they swear an oath to uphold and serve and protect, and then they go out there and do just the opposite, then, you know, that's when now, like you said earlier, people need to be held accountable. And these officers out there, when they put that badge on, their ego grows. I mean, it grows immensely. And the ones out there that their ego doesn't grow, they walk around with a humble heart and do what it is that they're supposed to be doing, serve and protect. You know? There's a difference there.
Yeah. Some people just want to hurt someone and you get in there too, and they want to be the jailer. And yeah, but they got a lot of laws on that. But when you're talking about the search deal, the cop asks this question in the search. Do you mind if I search your car? Well, if you say yes, well, he says, well, I can search your car. If you say no, it means no, I don't mind. So they're looking for a yes or no. But the correct is, I'm sorry, I don't consent to searches.
Well, that would be...
You ask a lawyer, he'll tell you that's the proper thing to say.
That would be wisdom that needs to be put in the heads of the average Joe out there. People out there really seriously need to know their rights. They really seriously need to know the laws because they've got a thing over here in the U.S. that, you know, ignorance is no excuse to the law. If you didn't know it was illegal and you done it anyway, that's no excuse. It's your duty to understand and know what the laws are. And the average Joe out there probably commits felonies every day and doesn't even realize they're doing it. You know,
mm-hmm.
There's so many laws on the books. You know, it's still here in Kansas City, it's still illegal to drive your car from one side of Kansas City to the other. You're supposed to get out of your car, have a horse drag your car across the through the city to the other side and let it out. And that law's still on the books.
In Melbourne, in Victoria, every single taxi cab, by law, not that they do it, but by law, has to have a bale of hay in their boot to feed the horse.
But you see, the ludicrousy of this.
There's a town or two that you have to stop at city limits, blow your horn 3 times, and wait for 2 minutes to get everybody to clear the horses off the street so your car can go. And it's still on the books. So if they really need to stop you, they can pull you over for that.
Yeah, and see, they're laws that should have been abolished many years ago. They should not exist any longer.
And in Florida, it's illegal to whistle underwater.
Really?
That's a state law. Yeah, that's a state law.
It gets worse than that. We've got race, genderized laws, too, where, like, you know, for a woman to drive a car, you have to be basically preceded by a man walking with a lantern or something. They forget the stuff's on there, and they just leave it on the book.
Hey, Thomas.
Well, I ain't trying to no lantern walk in front of an old car with some woman.
Yeah, I was about to say that, buddy.
And what would actually happen if you tried to pull that off?
You'd get run over.
You, No, you're arrested for hindering traffic, you know?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm telling you now, I'm going to press on my gas if you're walking beside me with a lantern. I'm just saying.
Hey, hey.
Actually, here in Tulsa, they actually forced them to take a law off the books by three people going through town and firing off the shotgun at every red light.
Oh, man.
There was a law in the book that said you had to fire your shotgun off in the air three times before you proceed through an intersection.
Far out.
Hey,
it
Shannon.
It didn't take very long. Downtown like that with, you know, all those skyscrapers and whatnot.
So there we go.
Off at 9 in the morning.
So there we go. We can have the lantern law abolished. I'll get Shannon to drive down the main street and I'll walk in front of it with a lantern.
Hey, yeah. Shannon, I want to put a visual in your head. Visualize old King Shaziz the Terrible with a lantern and Bev in at the wheel. I would be running for my life.
Oh, he's going to run. Shaziz, run.
That's why I said you better walk on the side or behind. Get out of my way.
But, you know, he's talking about going down the road blasting a shotgun off at the intersection. You know, nowadays, that bring the SWAT team out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much what it did. The police came, you know, pretty quick because, I mean, every single intersection for every mile, there's basically 10 red lights in downtown. And they were doing...
You mean somebody pulled that off?
Yeah, they pulled it off. Three of them did it.
Well, it was the law.
Right, exactly. They had the law on them. They had it printed out and with them so that whenever they basically booked them and took them down, the judge had to not only let them go, but apologize for not having taken the law off the books, and then the next council meeting, they removed it. This is one of those things that makes no sense, and they told them, they said, you get in there and get rid of all these other worthless laws, because they're basically cluttering up the law books, making it even more difficult to understand your already, you know, twisted spaghetti of terminology as you have it already, as it is.
Yeah, you got to go hire an attorney.
Right. Well, as I say, the law is worded so that only those who can have studied law will understand what they're reading. And 90% of the time, only half of them even understand it.
Yeah, I've had some really bad attorneys.
Police are making mistakes. Right. And no wonder the police make all kinds of mistakes. They don't understand the law they're trying to uphold because it's been made so incredibly difficult to understand so that it can be used to these people. Laws are not written to keep you from doing things that are bad. Laws are written today to find a way to make a criminal out of you so that they can have something to hold over your head.
Yeah, and as scary as...
Go to jail for 10 years, make a deal.
As scary as that sounds, here's another true story for you. I can't remember exactly what year it was, but I was doing a racial profiling class with a state trooper down in the town that I was working on. I was the acting chief at the time because... basically, I was the only one down there, and so in order to keep the police department going, I had to fulfill the racial requirement policy and take this course. So I had a state highway patrol guy down there actually giving me this course, and while we were standing outside having a smoke break, he told me something, I can't remember what year it was, I think it was 2012 he was talking about, 2011 or 2012. But he said by this particular year that the majority of the people, the American people, would be on paper, and the ones who aren't on paper would be watched by the ones who are on paper, or vice versa. And if you know what that means that you essentially got some sort of criminal record. You're on probation or parole or whatever. But that's pretty doggone profound coming from a lawman saying that, you know, and he never did elaborate to the fullest extent, but I'm pretty sure he knew something.
Well, they were trying to make it illegal to make under a certain amount of money here in America. And their you know, ploy to get people to make this an okay law was that, well, you won't serve any jail time, but it'll basically make it possible for you to take advantage of all these free, you know, this and free that. And essentially what they were doing was they were basically trying to goad people into giving up their freedoms for more security, meaning, oh, we'll pay for you to go to school if you'll let us take your right to vote from you, take your right to carry a gun from you.
Well, you know, there's a lot of conspiracies out there right now. You can go on YouTube, you can find tons and tons of them. It doesn't just have to be YouTube, it's all over the internet. And as I'm listening to all this kind of stuff, and I'm thinking about how many people it would actually take to pull this off, and then knowing that there's this paper out there called a non-disclosure agreement that if you're involved in a FEMA drill that you have to sign this under penalty of law, you can't talk about what's going on in that particular drill. But there's a whole lot of individuals out there have to be involved in a lot of this stuff right there. And I'm saying to myself, shouldn't these folks understand that what they're doing isn't just going to affect the average Joe, but it's going to affect them as well? And do the final results, the ends justify the means when you're giving away your freedom? You see where I'm coming from?
It's just that, yeah, that's that it doesn't. But people are scared. They throw all this, like you were saying before. Basically, they're throwing fear porn at them. That's all the news is. It's fear pornography.
Well, to tell you the truth, as I'm watching the news in the morning, this morning, which kind of perpetuated my idea for the most profound letter of peace to the world, was that in that sinking feeling in my stomach, honestly, there was a bit of fear in there for humanity because... You know, as I saw the thing about the UK, the rioting going on over there, I was thinking to myself how bad it would really be if it was here in the United States that they was really doing that. And there is actually, there's a guy out there, he's connected with Alex Jones to some point, Infowars.com, and he goes by the name of Fabian for Liberty. He just put out a video that's talking about on the 16th of May, this year, that there's supposed to be this 10 million man march on the Washington, D.C. Now, at one hand, you know, 10 million people marching into Washington, D.C. sounds like, okay, it's going to get somebody's attention, but is it going to get somebody the right attention? And the problem is,
right.
It's like if so much as a car backfires at the wrong time, you've got the ignition source for a terrible incident to occur here in the United States. And all these individuals out there that are connected with NSA and FEMA and all the different government agencies and security forces around the United States, they've already prepared for just such an emergency that the average Joe gets ticked off and decides to do what they did in UK. You know, the jail cells are ready. You know, it's... So when I hear things like this, when I hear Fabian for Liberty talking about, you know, how this is going to be and hopefully that it's a peaceful transition to basically overthrow the government, man, do you realize what kind of ticking time bomb that is?
Sounds scary.
Yeah. And here in the United States, it's not like over in the UK. They were there with sticks and clubs. The United States citizens are armed. They're armed to the teeth, and they are, you know, on edge. And when you put a society that is as armed to the teeth and freedom-loving as the United States American, you got a recipe for disaster if you go around and start rounding their families up. And so, you know, with that said, I can't see any congressman or any senator or president of any of the United States or anything wanting to try to push them their backs to that wall to that extent to where they actually resort to violence. To me, it would be a suicide deal. In my belief, there is no way under the heavens that either side can win a second civil war. It would literally shred the United States from the inside out, and there would be no more America. You know, I don't say that to make it sound all dramatic and fear porn, but this is the path we're on. And so the solution that we need is to do what we can do right now. We have the power of the spoken word. We have the power of the pen. We have the power of our actions. And as one individual, you know, you can make a huge difference. But as many individuals, instead of that 10 million man march to the White House, why not 10 million petitions towards the courts to restore the union in a peaceful manner? You see what I'm saying?
Ah.
And when the first 10 million petitions don't work, you put 10 million more in there until they understand how serious this is getting. And after the next 10 million petitions to the courts, Now you put 10 million signatures on a signed copy of the Declaration of Independence and say, look, this is how serious this is getting. We want to do everything under the sun to bring about this change back to what our union is supposed to stand for and as close to the United States Constitution as physically possible. But you're not listening to us. This is our final declaration right here. We're trying to say this as many times as we possibly can. This is a serious matter, and we're not going to stand down from it. And so, with that said, I believe that every single avenue towards peace has to be done and redone and done over and over until some results get going in the right direction, because if we ever get to the point to where we actually physically get into a civil war, it's a done deal. You know, you hang it up, because at that point in time in America's weakness, anyone out there who hates America is going to jump on the bandwagon, and suddenly you've got a world war. Am I wrong? I mean, common sense.
Not rocket science, is it?
No. I mean, if you look down the path and you see it's a bumpy road, you know whether you should turn left or right. Well, we're looking down the path. We can see it. It's coming. So how do we stop it? The only solution that I can say right now, because of what resources we have at our disposal, is we've got some amazing technology before us. We can use this. We can put the word out there. And we can bring all the people out there who don't want war, who want to just get together and have a barbecue with the Chinese or the Russians or the Canadians or whatever, you know?
Yep. That's exactly what we needed. Well, you know, we need to coordinate something like that, mate.
Well, I'm on it. I'm right there with you, folks. I'm telling you, I'm gonna sit down and compose a letter, a masterpiece of epic proportions, words. And hopefully that they're going to come from the heart, and they're going to come from, you know, a higher power or whatever. But I believe that it's a do or die moment. I believe it's a now or never, because I want my children and my grandchildren to grow up in a peaceful world.
And yeah.
What other option do I got? I don't have the military might to go into forcefully drag these bums out and throw them in jail where they belong. But I do got something more powerful than any military out there, and that's the power of love. And as long as you use that power of love towards just a just means, how can you go wrong? You know?
Right.
Anyway, somebody take over, because old King Shaziz the Terrible's winded.
What? Really?
Yeah. I'll get my second win. You can count on that.
All right, we know it.
You're just speaking from your heart, and that, you know, it's very important to you. It's very important to all of us. And so the stillness and the quietness sometimes is us just, you know, taking in what you're saying. And you know, it's a good thing sometimes to have that stillness and that peace. Not that we want dead air on the radio or anything.
No. You have to fill the radio show with noise. Yes. So people listen.
I can give noise.
Yes? What's your noise?
Noise.
That's pretty good.
Ah, she's the dame that says,
How do you spell that?
E-E with an very...
Because we can't say knee. That might be copyright infringement.
Well, guys, right. I may be a dreamer, you know. I look out there to this world, and I've done this all my life. As I look around me, I'm amazed. And I'm amazed every single day without fail. I'm amazed at the beauty of everything that's around me. I'm amazed at all the things and the way that they work. And I see that we have more than ample resources to take care of every man, woman, and child living creature on this planet. We have everything we need, and we have so much talent, so many gifts. We've been given the most amazing thing, the most amazing gift in the history of time. And what we do with this, it's going to define the future. And so instead of us going out there destroying, instead of us going out there hating and fighting amongst each other, we could be taking all these resources, we could be taking all this energy to going out there feeding the hungry and healing the sick. We could literally, if we could get the entirety of humanity on board, we could literally create a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. And I know that sounds like such a far-fetched dream after all that we've talked about, but I still believe in the dream. I still believe it's possible. And until the day that I take my last breath, I've got to keep on preaching this. I've got to keep on saying it. Because
just is, if you don't dream, you know, it has to start somewhere. And with your dream, everyone else can react with your dream. And don't ever be ashamed of your dreams, because, you know, we start with that. And we want to end with that. You know, we want to end with successful dreams. And I have dreams. Everybody has dreams. And not all of them are good. But the dream that you're talking about is something that's wonderful. And I do want my kids and my family, you know, to see that one day. Yep. And I think with everybody listening and just hearing that dream of yours and everybody's dream, it's going to be a good thing.
Tell me any.
It's going to be a really good thing.
Tell me any man, woman, or child out there who could look in the eyes of a crying baby and find joy, you know?
Yeah.
It's just...
Yeah.
It's just...
a little white building, dude.
Yeah, it's just... to me, it's...
That's just it, though. Those people don't find joy in it. They just don't care. Doesn't affect them at all. They have... Their empathy's broken. At some point in their brain's development, something did not develop like it should, and we just don't have the medical technology either to correct that. So you just have to get those people out of the power position and don't let them have access, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's the scary thing. Those are the kind of individuals that we've given power to, you know. When Obama stands up there and pokes his chest out and proudly proclaims he just took out somebody with a drone strike. You know, he even joked about to some boys that were looking maybe to date his daughters. He said two words, drone strike, you know. To me, as the President of the United States, that was probably the worst example of what to say to the children. Yeah, oh, you mess with my daughters, I'm going to drone strike you. Maybe it was said in jest, but if you really think about that visual, man.
Yeah.
It's pretty awful.
Yeah.
That's a terrible thing to say. You just joked about taking somebody's life.
Right. Yeah.
But doggone it, O King Shaziz the Terrible rules with an iron fist. I have spoken. Oh, man. You know?
I'm trying to find a section that I wrote a while back that I think, you know, something that would feel good to you is accepting an affection, you know, because you do have your emotions and your affection towards, you know, the world. It's a feeling, a natural response for your personality to give it. But sometimes for someone to accept it, it's a bit hard. And you have to learn to sway your mind from this tender attachment. This will in turn teach you that when you are given affection, to accept it, love it, and return it, making you a better person inside and out. Well, those are, I have many of these written, to accept things.
You should post some of that stuff up there on Shaziz Radio. You know, Shaziz Radio doesn't belong to me. It's everybody's. It's everybody's network. And so, you know, I'm sure cultists would be willing to help you set up a page to post some of this stuff. That would be a wonderful thing.
I certainly.
Well, eventually, I have 20 pages I want to write, and eventually I want this to become a book of acceptance, you know, a book of little sayings and things that I have accepted or things of someone else that I know they have accepted, you know, accepting teardrops and accepting blades of grass, you know, accepting a flower.
Well, Shannon,
there are things that,
for you to pose these positive pebbles out there and immortalize them in the digital network, we'll send positive ripples throughout forever. someday some people looking back and see what the Knights of the Round Table was all about and reading your stuff, you know, those are the seeds that we may not see the fruits of our labor. You know, we may not live that long to see it, but those are the worthy seeds of planting.
Yeah.
And so I say do it. I say post your love and all your good positive pebbles on Shazir's Radio. This is your network. This belongs to each and every one of you, the listeners out there. It belongs to you. Every time, if you notice, we got quite a few banners on there, people trying to do good things. If I see a good link or a good radio network and they're trying to do something good, I'll put it up on the deal to get them more traffic, because the more positivity we can get going on in this world, right now we've got one heck of a mess that didn't happen overnight, and it's going to take a little bit of time to clean it up. I've got my broom in hand, and I know the Knights of the Round Table and the dames of the Knights of the Round Table. I got it.
Finally!
I know they all have their brooms, and we're all cleaning house, and that's what needs to be done.
I'll even hold the dustpan.
Yeah. Okay, I'll take out the trash. I'm the king. I'm not opposed to getting my hands dirty.
Exactly, and we all know I most certainly am not opposed to getting my hands dirty. point me to him, baby. I'll take him out.
I can feel Thomas itching to say something in the background.
Really?
No, I'm just sitting back and listening, man.
Well, just getting back to what you said a moment ago, Shaz, is about setting up a page for Shannon. Now, I know that this also extends to any other artists that are out there.
Yes.
And basically anyone who has some positive, constructive, things that they want to put out there. I'm always saying I'm always available. You can find me on Skype. It's called Listener Grand, KULTUSNAGRAND. Don't mind, the name becomes a hassle.
You should just get a rubber stamp.
Yeah.
just tell them to look for that first part. Cult, cool, with a K, us.
Yeah.
Cult, us.
But I'm not a cult, dude. I'm a cult.
Oh, right? I understand. Just because the internet's phonetic.
Just because the internet doesn't give me the apostrophe for phonetics, that's not my fault. All right? My mother gave it to me, all right?
I'm just saying, if you give it to them phonetically, it's KULTUS.
Yeah.
And I don't think there are any other cultists out there.
There isn't. No. There's an extremely heavy metal band out there called Cultus. And, I've actually spoken to the lead singer, and he commented on my name. But anyway, getting back to the point. Anyone is welcome to contact me during the week. And, any time for that matter. I pretty much keep US Eastern Standard Time, so I'm always approachable. Show me what you got. We'll set you up a page. We can even set you up a page that you can go in and modify yourself. So and there's quite a few hits that come through this website. So if you want to get your projects out there, or your stuff out there, just come to us. And you don't necessarily have to get a hold of Shaziz, because Shaziz, he's a busy man, and even I find it hard to get a hold of him, but
sorry
I'm
about
always
that.
Available, and I'm able to do all these modifications on the website, so just hit me up anytime,
And
here's how I think of Shaziz. Oh, go ahead.
On that letter, the profound letter of peace to the world, I would invite everyone out there, listeners, and all the hosts out there, to sit down and pen a profound letter of peace to the world. And we'll post every single one that comes our way. I mean, I just want this. I want this to be at least a good attempt to trying to, put some common sense out there into the heads of the politicians.
Well, what I might actually do during the week, I might make up a page on the website and have a submission in there where people can basically either send us through a text file or just copy and paste. What they want, and anyone is welcome to add to this letter. But as Shannon and some of the others were pointing out before, this isn't a letter of bashing. All right, I'm not going to include anything, that's even remotely close to violence, whether verbally, physical, or mental. All right, so we need to approach these people. Like, we really do need to approach these people with love. You know, that's what they're missing. You know, if you have love in your heart, then you feel pain and empathy for people. They don't have love in their heart, hence they don't feel pain and empathy for other people. So this is what we need to feed them. We need to feed them love. We need to make them feel love, so that when bad things start happening to people around them, they can feel it and they can understand it. Put things into perspective for them.
Well, I posted a title for your letter in the chat room and in the Skype here, that would be
a good profound letter of peace to the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I would like to see people talk to people, their friends on Facebook, you know, your church groups or whatever. I would like to see as many letters as we could possibly get together. And some way, somehow, I would find a way to put every one of those letters into a book form, you know, even if that book was 70 stories high. Because the majority of the average Joe out here, they do want peace. The majority of the average Joe doesn't want war with your nation. The majority of the average Joe out here would rather come over and sit down and have a barbecue with myself and Coltis and Shannon and Thomas and Muddy and, you know, all of us. I mean, sit down to a good meal and some friendly conversation. Something. Anything's better than putting a bullet in somebody's head.
Exactly. You know, that's you know, what we're trying to fight against. You know, this is, you know.
I'm going to read something that I feel like the Knights are, the Knights of the Round Table and all of us, anyone who is love, you know, accepting us as we stand alone. And we are beautiful inside and out, vibrant, soft, velvet-like. And we know that as long as we stand like this, another will join and stand just as beautiful, which will teach us to accept the beauty within ourselves. And one day, another beauty will accept us. And we will all stand together.
I love it.
I like that. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
I always trust Shannon to come to the table with something good.
I sit there sometimes and I'm watching things on movies. Sometimes, you know, life imitates art, but my favorite part of any movie is that part where when everybody sees that there's an injustice going on and they start standing side by side, like as in you just spoke in your letter there, that when humanity comes together to overcome evil, I mean, it is just an overwhelming feeling you know, tears of joy. I'm going to say it, you know. Oh, Shaziz, the King Shaziz the Terrible. I get a tear in my eye when I see some wounded soldier doing something or being taken care of, or, you know, some lost soul out there being saved, or, you know, the community coming together to do what's right. You know, it's just, it's an overwhelming feeling to see good triumph over evil.
Yeah, exactly.
And I believe that that's a snowball worth rolling down the hill, picking up more people.
Couldn't agree with you more, mate.
We got our.
I was going to add Dublin to the coil, actually.
Cool. We got our little nerdy looking bicycle helmets on. We're all in this giant snowball, and we're rolling down the hill, picking up more souls. Is that a visual for you or what?
Yeah.
But
where is Dublin?
When it all comes down to it, guys, nobody can deny, no matter what your religious background is, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, what we do today is definitely going to define the world of tomorrow. And even if it just starts off from a letter, you know, the most profound letter of peace to the world, then so be it. There was a video that I watched where a young lady, she was probably 9 years old, I think, but she set up and she talked about peace to the world, and it shut the world up for a few minutes, long enough to listen to this child talk about peace and hope and love. You know, we should listen to children more often, because when a baby's born, they come into the world, they are totally untainted, they are totally unprejudiced, nothing. We essentially, by our actions, teach this child as this child's growing up. And so what are we teaching the children of the world today? That if you're angry at somebody, you strike out in violence? Or, you know, if there's a bad guy on the other side of the planet, it's okay to go over and bomb him? You know?
I think I'm going to have my son even sit down. And he's 11. But I think it would be a good idea for me to explain to him about the peace and the love and see what he has to say about it.
Yeah.
And I think I'll even put his letter in there. Have him write a little letter.
That would be great.
You know, so that we can hear the words of the little ones.
Have the children of the world write the letter, because the children of the world will tell you how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a, to me, it's a worthy cause. I sometimes, like I said, I've said it before, I get up in the morning and it's a whole lot for me to come in here and do this show. But I believe that, you know, my minor sacrifice doesn't even scratch the surface of what some other people out there in the world are sacrificing, just trying to stay alive, just trying to keep their families fed. And so sometimes I feel a little shame in my heart that I even complained, you know. And
yeah.
So I'm hoping that some words that we say here on the Knights of the Round Table will resonate out there enough to bring other people to the table. This is a huge table, and it's getting larger by the day. You know, we got room for everyone. And so come sit down at the table. You know, we may have to expand Skype or whatever.
That's all right. We can do that. No dramas at all. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, this is, you know, we have one generation's chance. Literally, we need to teach our kids now. You know, we are the last. We have woken up. We know what's going on. So the only hope we have left now is to teach our kids, teach an entire generation, not to bite into it.
Yep.
And that's what's going to save the world. That's what's going to save it from the tyrannic control, is by literally teaching all of our children what is going on.
And
we don't have to get them upset. We don't have to teach them to fight. We don't have to. All we have to do is tell them what's going on.
Yeah, we're not talking about teaching
people
them.
Aren't stupid.
We're not
people aren't stupid. They will easily.
We're not talking
they will
about
easily grow into their own.
We're not talking about teaching our children to live in fear of their government or fear in anybody. That's what we're trying to get our children away from. Not fear. We don't want the fear portion. What we want is the eyes wide open, ears wide open, minds wide open, and paying attention to what's really going on in the world. You know,
We've
said it so many times here on the Knights of the Round Table about, you know, you can't sell no bullets if there isn't no wars. You can't sell no drugs if there isn't nobody sick. And the folks out there who are really behind the scenes, they need us to be sick. They need us to be fighting amongst each other. They like it every time there's a riot, because look how much money is made. I mean, police—they're earning a salary because they're out there defending. You know, people are, insurance companies are making money from damages that are done. People are, money is changing hands every time you go out there and violently riot against a community, which sometimes it comes back to bite you in your own behind. Because I know in my general area, there was some riots way back when, and the town was so devastated that businesses moved up out of there. Nobody wants to live in a area that has the potential of another future riot and losing everything that they invested into the business. And so now that particular community is devastated with drugs and violence, and the town just it looks like it's beyond repair and beyond hope. And that's what the whole protest, the violent protest thing ended up getting. They burnt down buildings. They set fire to cars. They beat each other up. They beat other people up. I mean, it was a racial fight of epic proportions. It made the news. The news was happy to put it out there. The news made a lot of money. I mean, they had advertisers. They had, you know, people backing them while they're doing it. So bad news to the media means money to the man's pocket.
Exactly.
But a profound letter of peace.
Good news doesn't sell newspapers, unfortunately. You know, there needs to be controversy, apparently. Oh, I don't understand that. Why can't we have a news? You know, this is, here's an idea. Why don't we piece together a newspaper and we can distribute and sell this newspaper, right? And we only have positive stories in it.
I like it.
I would really like to pick up a newspaper in the morning, because I'll tell you what, there's no way I do not even look at mainstream media, right? Because I do not want to even be tempted to take the easy road, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, and just buy into all the BS that exists, you know. I would actually really enjoy having a newspaper, you know, once a week, once a month even. It was just full of good things that happened in the world.
Wouldn't that be nice?
You know, you could go through it and you'd be smiling. You'd be like, oh, wow. Instead of going, oh, my Lord, look, oh, he shot 16 people. Oh my Lord, robbed all these houses. Oh, you know. Wouldn't it be nice to go, oh, you know, check it out.
Think about all the people that would,
you know. This 16-year-old won a Nobel Prize for curing cancer. You know.
Yeah.
Why can't we have that?
There would be many people getting their coffee and going to work in a lot better mood.
Yeah.
You know, after reading a good positive newspaper, there would be many people that would, you know, walk out that door smiling.
As it stands, I feel safe to say that the majority of the Knights of the Round Table are of strong spirit. Now, keep in mind, we do have we're only human, so we do have our touchy points. But for the most part, being awake and wise to the ways of the world, but the average Joe out there doesn't have that strength and spirit. And if all they're being fed every day is negativity, it's no wonder why people are standing on the edge of the bridge ready to take that fateful leap into the afterlife or whatever. And to me, I want to get that person off the bridge. I want to pull that gun from that person's hand. I want to kick those pills to the curb that person's about to take their life with, you know? Because every time we lose one living soul on this world, we lose a big piece of humanity. And
we do, mate.
I think...
And every single person is, as you have pointed out hundreds of times before, everyone is so important, whether you have the power of the spoken word, you have the power of, you know, the ability to, you know, fiddle around with alternative energy, whether you have the guts to get up here on Shazir's radio and you know, give your opinion, you know.
Or just every care enough to basically stop by that person that's basically starving to death because somebody basically destroyed his job and bring him a sandwich, you know.
Yeah, you know. I was actually, today I found a Facebook page. Let me just, I'll pop this thing up here. And it's to an event, and it's an event for paying it forward. And I wrote a big spiel on it about how you know, everyone's so you know, they feel the need to have like a weekend for paying it forward, you know. And if I just read out what I wrote, it was what an awesome plan. Sadly, we should not need a weekend to do this. It should be commonplace. If one gives wholeheartedly without expectation, then they shall receive tenfold back. But you have to do it purely from the heart, because it needs doing. This extends to more than just giving. You see your neighbor's lawn is getting long? Don't dob them into your local council. Walk your mower over there and check to see if they're okay. They might have a perfectly good reason. Injury, depression, your dobbing them in will only exasperate their situation. Seeing a homeless person in the street? Buy them some food, a nice warm jumper or a sleeping bag. If we all took care of one person around us, no one would want for anything.
Brother, that put a tear in my eye and a warm spot in my heart.
No worries, mate.
You know, there's a thing in churches, and I know not everybody's religious and everything like that, and that's fine. I don't press my beliefs on anybody, but there's a thing in church that they call tithing. And, you know, tithing isn't just about money. You know, a lot of folks, they figure, well, I ain't got no money to give, but you do actually have something to give. And tithing can come in all different forms and fashions, such as what Thomas mentioned earlier about feeding the hungry, you know. If you got a loaf of bread and you only need a couple sandwiches to fill your belly and there's somebody else around you in need, share it with them, you know. Share a smile, share a hug, whatever, you know. Tithing isn't about monetary, it's about love. And if you don't have to be a believer in a higher power to understand that humanity needs all the love that they can get right now.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
You remember I talked about that wreck?
Yes.
You know, I think it was last week, right? Something that I have done since then is when I am on the highway or interstate, you know, or I try to smile at that. You know, have you ever watched people? I mean, I know I'm supposed to be focusing on the road, but I've looked over at people and they look so sad or, you know, or angry. And I try to smile because you never know when if that was their last smile they get to see.
Yeah, that one smile could set the path for the whole day.
Yeah. And it just takes, you know. And I'm one of those people, my daughter's always like, oh, Mom, you're so embarrassing. Like, if I go to the deli or if I go out into the public, if someone is really just being rude to me, I'll say, are you having a bad day? You know, and I call them out on it. Because, one, you're working with the public.
Yeah.
And you don't know what my, you know, I don't know what your morning has been. And I don't know what, you know, you don't know what my morning's been. But how about, hey, are you having a bad day? To bring them back to, hey, you're working with me here. You know,
yep.
Smile.
At the end of the day, we're all in this together, aren't we?
Yeah. My daughter's always like, I'm going to the next aisle because you're here.
You know what? I like the idea of when you happen to just be out there in public and you got a few extra bucks in your pocket and you're feeling a little bit blessed and you see that individual up there trying to count the pennies up there at the counter, throw a few bucks down there and just walk out, don't say a word.
Yeah.
You know, that pay it forward thing, I'm a firm believer in it. And how can you go wrong by benefiting somebody's day? You know, it just, to me, there's no negativity attached to doing something right for somebody.
I cannot wait for the day that I am maybe, you know, a little better in money to where that, because I've been that person that's struggling with those coins, you know, trying to, you know, or having to put everything back at the grocery store because I didn't have enough.
Oh, that saddens my heart when I see that.
Wait.
Yeah, and I can't wait till the day when I get to be that person that can say, here you go, you know, and feel that warm connection with that person. Because it does feel
good. I've got a bit extra here. You have this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to feel good to me.
It certainly will.
You know, the mainstream media out there makes their living off of sending a tsunami of negativity towards the world. The Knights of the Round Table, we don't even earn a living, but we're throwing a tsunami of positive pebbles towards the world. So I'm hoping that our tsunami grows big enough to mop their tsunami and just keep on rolling on around to the other side, and eventually somebody who I don't even know is going to come up and smile to me. You know?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's not a bad goal to seek, if as far as I'm concerned. Correct me if I'm wrong. But, you know, you can't go wrong by doing something right.
That's right.
You know, sometimes you got unintended consequences, like you tried to do something right and then Murphy's Law kicked in and it backfired, but that's no justification for... you know, I'm not even going to step my foot out there anymore because every time I do, somebody stomps on my toe. You know?
Yeah.
I've had my toes stomped on a few times. I've been called everything under the sun. There you go. See,
that says
there is a purpose for E. I don't go E. I go, oh my God! Oh, man.
Oh, that's great.
The best part about waking up on Sunday mornings is actually getting to sit at the Knights of the Round Table with all of you individuals from all over the globe, because your hearts are golden, and I'm honored. I'm really truthfully honored to have you as my friends, and you know what? I'm just a lucky guy. What can I say?
Aren't we all? We're all rich at this table.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep. Well, on that note, Shaziz, what do you reckon we chuck on a tune and we all go fill our coffees?
All right, I will do that. I'll see if I can find... I'm going to throw Spirit in the Sky back up here because Shannon's mama liked it. She was dancing.
The
spirit
in the sky.
All right, here we go. Peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned.
When I die in the limits of rain. trouble all my day. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and raised. No pleasure here on earth I found. For in this world I'm bound to ramble. I have no friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. Perhaps I'll die upon this train. Perhaps he'll die upon this train. You can bury me in Sunbeam Valley. For many years where I may lay. Sleeping in my grave, while he is sleeping in his grave. Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger, my face you never will see no more. But there is one promise that is given. I meet you on God's golden shore. He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
Wondering, will Mother Earth survive?
table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table, and we're talking about the most profound letter to the most profound letter of peace to the world. And I need to give a shout out to my buddy Muddy Mudman out there. Hey, brother, I get so passionate sometimes I just can't shut up, and so, you know, I got to work this way around the round table to give everybody their voice. So. Brother, if I upset you, I'm really, truly sorry. It was never my intent. I just get a little wound up sometimes, but everybody's opinion matters here more than you can possibly imagine. So with that said, we're back on the Knights of the Round Table. How's it going, folks? Nobody? Don't everybody jump to the mic at once.
Have you lost all of your audio issues?
We're
I don't think so. I can hear you.
Oh, well, then we're all talking.
We're live.
Dude. I even almost spoke over the top of Shannon, dude.
All right. Well, I hope Muddy got my my message there. So get back up in here, brother.
I noticed there was a dot there in Hawaii. Say, so g'day to my brother out there, Kent. I hope you're. I hope the jungle fever isn't giving you too much hell, brother. And yeah, mate, just keep.
Yeah, if Kit's up in there, how's it going, brother? Good to see you. Sort of. I mean, like, not sort of good to see you. It's sort of like we can sort of see you because there's a dot from Hawaii.
Yeah, it's a big dot, too, like.
Oh, I think I see him waving or something.
Yay! Well, that Google Earth, we could zoom in on him and we could see him waving. But anyway, folks, I think this is a worthy cause. What? Anyway, I should have done this earlier. Let's go around the round table and maybe we'll get Muddy to come back and talk to us.
Yep. So if we're going to go around, you need to go you.
Which way?
You? Boy, we're talking about some really bad dead air going on here, Shannon.
I don't know which way the table goes.
I'm sorry. Ladies first.
It's a retroactive table, depending on which side of Skype you're on.
Yeah, ladies first.
What are we discussing? Anything?
The most profound letter of peace to the world. Ouch.
Oh, you okay?
All right, guys, look. Hey. I'm just saying, you know, there's so much going on in this world. There's so much negativity being pumped out to the average Joe out there that it's understandable that people are frustrated and worried. And sometimes to the case of being chronically paranoid. I mean, you got shows out there like Doomsday Preppers, and there's all kinds of apocalyptic scenarios coming around. If you get on YouTube long enough, you'll find out the world's been ending ever since YouTube came on the table there.
Yep.
And so with that said, we're in the process of trying to put out positive solutions, and one of the positive solutions that came to my mind was if we could get together and write the most profound letter of peace to the world and send it out to every single politician, every single government agent in the entire globe. Is this doable, Shannon?
I think so, and I think...
Did we lose you?
You've got problems with your audio, but...
My audio? No, we're going pretty good here. Why don't you hang up and call back?
Okay, I will.
There's a delay, dude.
All right.
You've got a problem.
Are we good, bad?
Oh, man, I don't know. Hold on, let me see what's going on. No, we're still streaming.
All good, brother. But we're still streaming. I think there's a delay.
Well, that's modern technology for you. Somebody doesn't want it saying what we're saying. Let's just keep the ball rolling so at least the podcast comes out good. Oh, I'm going to put on another tune here for a second until we figure out what's going on. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Ay-ay-ay-ay. Gotta find a song.
I would suggest one, but he can't hear me.
I can hear you.
Oh, now you can hear me?
Yeah, I've been hearing you guys.
Okay, we're back.
I think the world's been hearing you. So, should I throw in a quick tune and we reset Skype? Okay, that's what we're going to do. Do-do-do-do. We're having tech problems. Sorry, folks.
That's a 3-second delay.
I may land. shall seize the turbo. All rise for King to seize the turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. You know, since the beginning of the dawn of time of mankind, there's been wars and death and destruction and ignorance throughout the land, you know. Somebody always wants to fight about something. Somebody always thinks it's worthy enough cause to actually take somebody else's life. And so, with that said, the learning process that is life, you would think that after all these generations and all the different wars and the different terrible things that's gone on in the world, that mankind would have finally come to a bit of enlightenment to understand that some of these things that we're doing just aren't the right thing to do, and they're not going to benefit the world in any way, and they're not going to send a good message to the people, the children of the future. You know, I talked about a video earlier that the children were talking about. They don't want no peace with Israel because the Israelis killed their mom and their pop, you know. And so essentially there's another generation that has been damaged to the point that whenever they get old and become warriors themselves, may very well go out there and kill somebody else's mom and pop. And so when will it ever end? You know, it's like the old story of the Hatfield and McCoys. I'd like to, go around the table here and get you all's thoughts on what you think. Do you think something as simple as a message, a profound letter of peace to the world could start that big turnaround, you know, to going towards something positive for this world?
I do.
Well, we got one I do.
I do.
Would anybody care to expand on that?
I'm going to start writing mine tonight, and I'm going to also get my son to write one, and I'm also going to get my 6-year-old niece. I think that the children's voice and the way they do it will be a great thing. Hearing them, because they are so honest and they word it in a way that, you know, is for an adult to hear is like, wow. They really mean that.
Children always do have a profound love in their heart, you know. They, like I say, when a baby's born, they're not tainted. They don't have any prejudice. They don't have any hatred for the world. They're looking up at the world with big wondering eyes, and it's like a learning experience. Everything's amazing, you know, to find that first can of soup that's on the shelf and knock it off on the floor and to see it roll across the floor, you know, that's an amazing thing for a child. And so with that said, being able to guide this child into man or womanhood and bring them up to with good moral beliefs and standings and hope for, you know, future mankind, to me that's a worthy start. What do you think?
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I'm going to get into writing mine. I might, however, though, I might just wait until I have a handful of letters, because, as I said, I'm fairly handy with phonetics, so I'll be piecing everyone's together. I might ad-lib a little without changing anything, but I'll ad-lib and extend on people's.
I think
that's
it would
be
good even
in the first place
for us to maybe find some and read them, even on the radio.
Yeah, for
some
sure.
Some of them. You
yeah,
know,
that
just
would be
to
great.
Kind of give people some ideas.
And as I said, I'll also implement something on the website where people can come in and they'll be able to submit their own letters. So for all you listeners out there, all you have to do is give me a couple of days. So we'll say Tuesday night. Head over to Shiz's Radio, and there'll be links there for you to use to submit your profound letter of peace to the world.
I know my mom; she'll be willing to do it. And
no worries.
Well, it'd be wonderful to have a few letters to read on the next Knights of the Round Table. Say, do we got Dublin in here? Dublin, are you there?
Unmute your mic, Dublin.
Yeah.
There he is.
I'm there. Listening in. It's a good show. Enjoying it. Yeah, I've got to think what ideas to write down for my letter. Keep up the good work. I think Mudman's probably only just gone off to do some work because, you know, he's got, like, taxi work and he sometimes gets called out. I don't need anything.
He hasn't driven a taxi for many years, mate.
Oh, I thought he did the taxi work every now and then. Oh, yeah. Well, there you are.
All right. Well, we'll figure that one out. Is Thomas still in here?
No, Thomas hasn't rejoined us.
Uh-oh.
He did disappear when we had those technical issues, and I have re-added him to the call, so he does have the ability to click on the chat there and just select join call, and he'll instantly fall into here.
Well,
like, ah! And he'll drop in.
Would you guys think that just by observing history that there's a huge lesson to learn that I would say the global elite / representatives of the world just haven't got the point yet?
Well, there's certainly a pattern that goes on, isn't there?
No, well, there's definitely a pattern going on. I mean, if you look at just the riots alone in the world. I mean, it's kind of alarming because, you know, one day you're hearing about some stuff going on in Syria, then you're hearing about some stuff in Libya, and then you're hearing about some stuff in the UK and, you know, things going on and all over the place. You know, in my personal religious beliefs, you know, basically what's described in real life to me is what was described in Revelations. And, you know, whether you believe or not, it's still somebody took the time to write that down in a book for a purpose. And, you know, whatever that purpose be, I would say that the biggest purpose would be wisdom, you know. To put those Ten Commandments down there, those are good things to live by. I mean, even if you're not a believer, the Ten Commandments, how could you deny living in a world where there is no buddy killing or, you know, cheating on their spouse or whatever, you know. It's just common sense, you know what I'm saying?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Some people don't possess that common sense.
Well, unfortunately, those folks that don't possess that eventually come to a point in their life where their life becomes so devastated that they're forced to look for options that have to do with common sense. So, you know, unfortunately, in my beliefs, there's a lot of people that come to the Lord because of tragedies in their life, and they haven't been able to accomplish anything on their own, and they're looking for more people for support, or they're looking for camaraderie or companionship or brotherhood, you know. And I wish that they could have found that before they went down that road.
Yeah.
Looks like Michael Stevens is online. I wonder if he's going to join in on the Knights of the Round Table.
Ooh. He's always got some good words, Michael.
Yes.
Anyway, you know, I think that everybody has a Facebook and everybody has a YouTube or whatever to send a message out there that we're looking for people to write these letters and combine them all into one profound letter of peace to the world. I think that that's a worthy cause. I think that it could send if you kick that first positive domino towards all the rest of the positive dominoes, and you all get them to fall into the right place, I think we could actually at least put the brakes on all the madness going on and try to steer this ship in the right direction. Am I wrong?
Help me out and help me explain, like, how I could word this to a child, you know, or even a family member that may not understand what we talk about or has never, you know, listened to the show or, you know, been a part of what we're trying to do.
Well,
how could we word this letter?
Children have a network of their own. When they start going to school, they got a network of news, you know. They've got a network of propaganda. They've got a network of, you know, ideas and stuff going on. Children, they'll sit around, they'll talk about the world, they'll talk about wars, and they'll talk about things that they've heard, you know, school shootings or whatever, and they have their own ideas. They have their own beliefs on ways to solve this problem. You know, some children, the first thought that comes to their mind was, you know, if we could get rid of all the guns, we could stop all the crime, but you know, it doesn't necessarily work out like that. But to try to talk to a child and explain to him what's going on in the world, I would say the best thing to do would maybe sit down and actually watch the news with them, watch their cartoons with them, and discuss what you're actually seeing there, you know. What's your thought on what you just saw there, son? And let them speak. And just be a good listener. Listen to what they have to say. Well, you know, I understand, Dad, that this is just a cartoon, and you know, I would never do nothing like that because you know I don't believe it's right to hurt nobody. You'd be surprised how intellectually intelligent children really are.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say the best go is just to sit down and have that discussion with them. Just talk to them. Say, you know, we're watching the news right now, and you can see that they're talking about a few terrible things going on, you know, and how's that make you feel? What do you think that we could do to fix it, you know? And child may say something just as simple as, you know, teach them how to love, Ma, you know?
So who is he going to, like, so who is this child going to address this letter to? I guess I'm trying to help, you know, everyone else.
To all the ears of the world.
To all the ears of the world or something.
To all the hearts that will listen.
Yeah, I still struggle to try and explain this to family members, so I really don't have any advice.
Yeah.
Well,
I get met with, you know, exactly what you expect, you know. And they don't understand that they are, but everyone is, well, not everyone, because we're not, but the bulk of the population seems to be pre-programmed to attack what is different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I have been attacked by my own family here in Roxby for, you know, what I do, you know, and I try to explain to them, you know, this is what really goes on in the world, and I'm just a fool, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well,
yeah. You know, so we know where they're going to end up, you know, like, I try, and there becomes a point, though, where you've got to stop trying.
The problem that I see with what you're having to contend with is, everyone ends up having their own media source. Like, I've got family members that listen to MSNBC, and I've got other family members that listen to Fox, and I got other family members that's got their nose so deep in the Xbox that they wouldn't know what was going on in the world if it jumped up in front of them.
Yep.
But the views that they get are most generally from every single network one-sided. And that's why I like the Knights of the Round Table, because we give people the opportunity to come here and tell both sides of the story and let somebody make their own informed decision on what it is that they want to believe. But if you point out to, you know, hey, this network over here says that this happened and this network over here says that this happened, what's your view on it? What do you take from all this stuff, you know? And just let them talk it out. I don't know any other way to do that other than to try to live your life and lead by example, by, you know, whatever you do in your life. If somebody looks out from the outside looking in and they see that there's something good about you that they might want to adopt into their own life, that's the only way to do it. And ask them, what would you say to the world? And you know that there's wars going on somewhere in the world. What would you say to the world if you could have their ear for one moment and let them write it down?
Yeah, that's good. I was just talking the other day about, I have been blessed with I have grown up in a very loving family, in a very big family. And we get together once a year. And you know how people will mention a family reunion. Well, that, you know, ours are huge, like over 100 people. And, you know, since I was a little girl, I cannot remember a time where there were arguments at these family reunions. That we always try to do something different, and it is amazing. And I wish that people could feel that love of family. And now that the Knights are here and that we're spreading this, you know, I have more family and more friends.
Well, I think the ultimate mission of the Knights of the Round Table is to create a worldwide family reunion, because those are our brothers and sisters out there, you know?
Yes.
And they got a lot of wonderful things to share. They've got a lot of wonderful ideas. Imagine how far we could have advanced as a society if we were to take the time and listen to each other. Instead of, like in my personal family, I've seen instances where it took a tragedy, a death in the family, to bring people together. And to me, that is a... what a waste. All the years that had gone by that you hadn't told your aunt or uncle how much you loved them, or your mom or your dad or your brother or your sister, and then at the last minute you got all these regrets because you always took for granted that tomorrow was going to be here with that particular individual, you know. So my cousin, maybe he was so annoying to me that I didn't really call him as much as I should have or whatever, but now that he's gone and I don't have that option to call him, it's like, you know, I wasted all that wonderful time that I could have had, at least to call him up and lip off at him and tell him what kind of knucklehead I think he is or whatever. You know, just some sort of, hey, I know you're still alive and, you know, I don't always agree with what you're doing, but I love you, brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But, these are things that I believe the Knights of the Round Table stand for, and I this is Knights number 77, and I can't wait to see how Knights 100 runs out, or Knights 1000, and I would like to see that when we get up into our golden years and we're on our way to our great reward, that somebody else takes up that flag and runs with it, and the Knights live on for the future of humanity. And there's always a set of Knights out there willing to speak up and talk about truth and love and peace and hope for the world, because, you know, once the positive pebbles stop flowing, the only thing left is negativity, and we've all seen the power of negativity. It's not a good thing.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great to get a young knight or a young dame on here, you know, in their teenage, to see what they have to say on here.
Shannon, that is a spectacular idea.
Wouldn't that be great?
That is a spectacular idea. Man, if we could get a Youth Knights of the Round Table going, we would put them on air. We would put them on the site. We would give them the voice that they need. Because these children out there, they want to be heard. You know, they know adults. Yeah. Adults don't usually listen to them. I've seen incidents where a child said, "Look, what's going on over there?" And they're like, "Shut your mouth! I'm in charge. You know, you worry about what I tell you, whatever." But if they had the opportunity to speak openly, like we're doing right now, with the respect in the ears of the adults, imagine what that could start.
Yeah. I would like to get my nephew on here. Colty's met my nephew.
Yeah, he's a good bloke.
He's 14 years old, and he is very intelligent when it comes to things like this.
But switched on.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, and I know that
he not like the last young fella you brought me, Shizzy's.
Set the word out to all the Knights of the Round Table and all the listeners of the Round Table to bring your families to the table, you know. We want to hear the voice of the children. We want to hear what the children think of the whole deal.
Yeah.
And I think we're a good family-oriented, you know, station that it wouldn't harm not a child to listen to us.
And that's the way we're trying to keep this thing. We're trying to keep this thing to where if your child's listening, that you don't have to worry about your child hearing, you know, trash. Mm-hmm. We're trying to keep this a family. This is a family. We talked about family reunions just a minute ago. I would love to see a worldwide family reunion. Everybody coming to the table, bringing your children to the table, because the fruits that we're putting out here on the table are fruits that are beneficial to all of humanity.
Well, Lauren, just drop in there for 2 seconds. Is this... few things have changed around here in the last week or so, mate, and I'll be coming to America by myself now, and, well, you guys are my only family, so...
Well, brother, you know what? I will be there as long as I have a breath in my body. I'll be there for you.
I know you will, brother.
You know I'm right there.
I know, darling. Thank you.
Yes, I just... that's a wonderful idea, Shannon, and the... See, we started off with one most profound letter of peace to the world, and now we're talking about bringing a Youth Knights of the Round Table together. It grows. I mean, you plant that seed, and it grows into the most fruitful tree. And how else can we do it? I mean, like we said, the resources aren't always there for me to fly across the country and lift somebody up out of the ditch, but you might be living down the street from them, and I could send the word out, hey, I understand somebody down the street's in trouble, you know, and we send them over there to help them out. You know, that's the...
I'm snowed in.
You see what I'm talking about?
Well, really?
Even being snowed in, you're still throwing positive pebbles in the pond, you know?
Absolutely.
Somebody go over there and help her shovel her driveway.
Help me dig out my van.
Oh.
Sadly, I'm still a couple of weeks off, so you just have to fix yourself, sweetie.
It's okay. Every time I go outside, I do a little more. But my own family reunions, as the elders, you know, tend to go off, you know, and they pass away, then the next level, it's handed down to, you know, to the cousins or second cousins, you know. And here soon, you know, as these get older, I'm going to be handed that, you know, to take care of certain things. And us cousins have already been handed some little things to do to get prepared, you know, so that we can carry on this family reunion and that it never ends.
Well, you know something? Your mom and your aunts and your uncles, they laid down the stones for you to walk a smooth path in life, and they worked as hard and did whatever they could in order to try to, you know, make it a good life for you. And so now that you are in the position to where you be taking over those reins, you're laying the stones down for your children and their children and to the future and beyond. And that's why I keep on saying this, and it bears repeating. We are the founding fathers, the mothers, the sisters, the brothers, the aunts, and the uncles of our children and our children's children's future. And what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. I have the utmost respect for anyone's mother out there who had spent their time toiling over a hot stove or working, or the father out there in the field or in the factory or whatever. They did all that stuff out of love for their family. You know, it does take a lot of love to be able to force yourself to get up 5 o'clock in the morning and travel across town to go out there and work yourself to the bone for 8 hours and not get any respect from the man you're working for. It takes a lot of love for your family to do that. What do you guys think?
Yes, it does.
And so with that said, you know, I think that society taking care of their elders and not leaving them in the old folks' home and to be forgotten, you know, out of sight, out of mind kind of thing is a shameful thing, considering they were the ones that put the stones we're standing on, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. My family pretty much left my grandmother in a nursing home, so I know exactly where you're coming from there. She's just...
Yeah, and we need to put the stones, we need to build a stable foundation for the children of the future to be able to stand on and live their life in peace and without fear, you know. It's just, you know, everybody talks about getting rid of the guns, you get rid of the wars. Well, first you got to, before you get rid of the guns, first you got to do something about the heart. You got to get people to understand what it means, you know, when a child is sitting there and he's playing cowboy and Indian, you know, back in the old days that was a game we used to play, but it was a make believe thing, and nobody really died, and sometimes people died like 10 times during the game, and then they'd be back again, and then you'd die the next time around. But you know, as society gets more intense towards this, you see little children growing up and they want to be army men, you know. It's glorified to be an army man. Run out there and kill the enemy. But they don't understand that once that bullet comes out of the end of that barrel, that gun, there's actually a serious consequence that occurs, such as taking another individual's life. You can't bring that back. You can't decide after you pull that trigger that you don't want to do that. It's too late by then. And so what we need to do is warm the hearts before the trigger's ever even pulled. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, and absolutely. And now, Shaziz, it's coming to the point where these kids aren't even growing up yet and doing it.
Yep.
You know, these little ones are doing it in the schools. You know, this isn't cowboys and Indians anymore. It's actually, they're shooting their classmates.
And in the poor in the poor neighborhoods, the folks are shooting each other. You know, I mean, what would it take to get the ear of the world? I'm telling you, if I had the loudest microphone in the world and I could just freeze everybody in place for 5 seconds long enough to say something, you know, it just I know it's crazy. I know it sounds so crazy, but I just think that I can see the future. I can see all the way down the line. I can see that the path that we are on as humanity leads to sheer destruction, and that's not the world that I vision that I want my children living in. I mentioned earlier, who could look in a baby's eyes full of tears and find any kind of joy or not even remotely feel, you know, responsible for that, you know? It's just, yeah. I can't see it. You know, maybe it's all a lost cause like the elite would have us to believe, but I don't think so. I know my faith, I know my Bible, and I've heard the criticisms of it, and I've heard everything else, but if I took nothing away from my Bible, I took away some common sense from those basic laws called the Ten Commandments, I took some common sense from the history that was foretold in the entire book, that somebody seen fit that there was some wisdom in their mind that they saw going down the wrong path would lead us to Armageddon. And so I'm the guy that's out there saying, hey, hold on, don't run up in that cave there, because it's not so good as you think it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You can, here's one for you. You can accept a teardrop, as they are subtle, soft, wet, salty, and emotion, which in turn will teach you to accept a pain, a sadness, an excitement, a feeling you have, and it's okay.
Yeah,
that's your baby's teardrop.
I just I can't stand to see anybody suffer, you know, and I know you guys' heart is in the same place. I know it. I know that the average heart out there is in that same place, but between all the you know, when we talk about battle-hardened individuals who just came back from war and they've seen so much death and destruction that the rest of their life is spent in a numbness, as if, you know, what they've seen is beyond all terror that you could possibly imagine, and it destroys the rest of their life because they feel like there is absolutely no hope whatsoever for humanity after what they've saw. But somehow or another, we've got to reach out and touch those people, and we've got to tell them, you know, we've got to bring their hearts and their minds to the light, so to speak, to, you know, there is hope in the world. There is, what you've learned can be a valuable teacher to those in the future, not to repeat the same mistake, so to speak.
Yeah.
I mean, am I talking out the side of my neck or what?
Not at all, Mike.
No, not at all. Not at all. And, you know, there's so many people out there that probably want to respond and just, you know, either can't or,
or like me, figure that they really can't put it any better than Shaziz is putting it right now.
Shaziz really does put it in a perspective that you're just like, wow.
Yeah.
And you're stuck.
Yeah, yeah, that is 95% of the reason why we end up silent, Shaziz.
to the listeners out there, and to you guys, I mean, that's a wonderful thing, but to the listeners out there, say your piece. We had to shout it from the mountain. We still have to shout it from the mountain. Say your piece. Write your letter. For God's sake, write it.
Well, the ability will be there on the website during the week. So, all people need to do is pop over there and, you know what I mean? You can start writing now. Just right-click on your desktop, go to New, and click on Text Document, and start tapping away. And, you know, save that little puppy tonight, and a couple of days when I get the link up on the site, just head over there and drop it in, and we'll go from there. And, you know, you can have it read out on the show on next week.
Feel free to flood my email with all the profound letters of peace to the world. Shaziz@yahoo.com. Send send as many emails as you can put your hands on. And every one I get, I'll read. I'll put it out there for somebody else to read, because it's my grandchildren's a worthy cause. It is a worthy cause. When I look in the faces of my grandchildren and they come up here and they give old grandpa a hug and they tell me how much I love them, I can't see them living in a world where they got to dodge every drone strike coming their way, or, you know, death and destruction and ignorance. There's no reason for the ignorance that we see in this world. There's no reason for it. There's no reason for anybody to be starving. There's no reason for everybody to be sick. We've been given the most amazing gift in the history of time. And right now, a lot of the world out there is squandering that gift, you know. We take for granted one another. Your children are a gift. Your parents are a gift. Your friends are a gift. And for you to not take in account that tomorrow maybe your friends or your family might not be there is to cheat yourself and your family out of time well spent. And so, you know, a positive word in any direction towards any family member, any friend, any uplifting words of encouragement towards the world in the times that we live in today, that's what we're trying to do here. Come to the microphones. Come to the table. Write your letters. Flood the chat room with positivity. Flood my email. You know, just do it. It's not going to get done until you get up and do it. Oh,
I agree. Call in, write in.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, folks. I got this dream in my head. I got this dream in my heart, and it feels so wonderful that I'm never going to let go. You know, until my last dying breath, I'll be still saying peace and love to the world. Can't we all just get along? You know,
it doesn't take much, does it? I mean, you know, you just. Shannon and I were talking about it the other day. Yeah, you know, we were discussing, you know, people in relationships, but it extends to just friendships as well. You know, if you've got a problem with somebody, talk about it. Don't sit there and stew on it. You know, this is a huge deal. You know, if you sit there and stew on it, you know, time's going to go by and you're not going to remember what the deal was. You're just going to remember the emotion, and something else is going to go wrong. You're not going to talk about that, and you're just going to hang on to the emotion of that, and something else is going to go wrong, and you'll hold on to the emotion of that. And by the time it comes around that you're arguing about it, everyone's forgotten what it was. They only remember the emotion.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what it was, you can't repair the emotion.
It's kind of like the old story of the Hatfield and McCoys. After so many generations, they didn't even know why they were feuding.
Exactly.
So, you know, to all the people over there in the Middle East, do you guys know why you're feuding? I mean, who's stirring the pot over there, you know? You can't just say it's all Americans, because Americans aren't over there in the middle of the whole mess in every single town or every city. You know, I know that Americans and Australians and British and Canadians are all over the world, you know, trying to be so-called peacemakers, but they're not doing too good, and they're not faring too well. And so far, the elite of the world haven't solved starving problems in the world. They haven't solved sickness. They haven't stopped the bombs. All the peace talks in the world are simply that. They're talks. It takes people getting up off their butt and telling your politician, you know, this isn't what we want, and this is not what we'll stand for.
And as part of the part of the general populace, we're ashamed of what's going on when it comes to war.
Yeah,
we don't want it. Like, you know, this is, you know, it's not something we want. We don't want you being hurt. As you just pointed out before, I'd much rather, you know, head over to your country there, and you can show me your culture, and we'll, you know, have a barbecue and a beer, or, you know, that's the Aussie way, have a barbecue and a beer, or you can show me what, you know, you guys do in your culture. You know, like, it's not about, you know, we don't want war. We don't.
Nope.
I would never stand and hold a sign up, though, and tell a soldier, you know, we don't care about you.
No,
you know, what
no,
you're
that's
doing
not
is
what
wrong.
We're saying, is it?
Yeah. And no, it's not. And I would love for our soldiers to be able to go to another country and not fight over war, but to go over to another country and help them. You know, what can we do
actually
to help you?
yeah. actually fulfill yeah. what the intended purpose was, which is, you know, we go into these countries apparently for peacekeeping, but really we're going in there to steal their oil and their other finite resources, you know. That's what our government is sending people in there for. They're not sending them in there for peace. You know, it's not about quelling a problem over there. It's about stirring one up, killing a bunch of people, and coming out profiting.
And the sad thing about it is the good hearts that are, you know, some young soldier goes in with honorable intentions, thinking they're fighting for freedom and peace and love around the world, and it turns out to not be the case. And what you was talking about, Shannon, just a second ago, about people holding signs up protesting against the Army man, I think that people need to go over there and they need to hug that Army man and said, sorry about what happened to you, brother. I mean, we dropped the ball on that thing, or you wouldn't even be there, you know. We should have been holding these representatives' feet to the fire. You know, you didn't deserve what you had to go through.
Could you imagine a soldier getting off of an airplane and just having a line of people and just hugging them? Hugging them. You know, hugging them.
That's what they need, man.
I mean, I'm sure that they do have family there, but I'm talking like every, just hugging them, smiling at them, and thank you. I would love to be able to say thank you for going over there and hugging that other country and giving them food, giving them water, showing them how to create this energy, you know, this free energy.
I've seen and heard a lot of stories about soldiers that have been in foreign lands during foreign wars, and out of the goodness of their heart would give some of their own food to somebody to, you know, that they've seen in need. And so I know that there's a lot of good individuals over there forced into, you know, a situation that they don't, you know, they don't necessarily agree. They're fighting an enemy, you know, somebody's shooting at them, somebody's shooting back, but in that whole midst of chaos, there's one story out there about a German soldier during World War II and an American soldier that sat down and had Christmas dinner together. You know, they took a break from the fighting, and they realized that they were humans, that they had more in common than they had, than they didn't.
Yeah. My daughter has a friend. My daughter's 18, and she has a friend who just a happy guy, happy kid. You know, just loved to have fun. And he went over. You know, he's over there serving, and my fear is that he's going to come back sad. I want my soldiers to come back happy and loving, and not to be, you know, the only thing that they see is a dead child or a dead mother or grandmother, you know, or always having in their heart that, man, I had to kill that person or I killed that person.
Yep. And you know, the scary thing about that is the difference in the training from World War I to World War II, all the way up to Vietnam and Korea and the modern day police and all that, was in the old days when soldiers came back, they were finding out that a lot of them didn't even fire one single round towards any of the enemies, and they were wondering, how is it we're going to get these individuals to fire on the enemy? And so they, instead of using a bullseye target, went to a black silhouette so that they would get the soldier desensitized to actually shooting at a human figure. And so, with that said, all the
desensitization.
Yeah, all of that has built a modern day soldier who doesn't think twice about pulling the trigger. And to me, that's more dangerous than anything that I can think of.
Well, you know what today's new method of that black silhouette is, don't you?
What's that?
Computer games.
Oh yeah, first person shooter.
Yeah.
Yep. Run around and shoot people.
They're building
aliens. Like I remember being a kid, and the big game was Duke Nukem 3D, and you shot aliens.
Yeah,
and
now it's people.
Then it turned into games like Modern Warfare and Battlefield 1942 and things like that. You know, we're shooting other human beings.
Well,
now with that, I was a video gamer. I haven't played in so long.
Yeah.
And my game was, you know, one of the shooting games. And I have, and I played it. For me, being a female, like I was, for me it was because of my mindset and the love that I have for people, it for me it was just, oh, I topped you. I got you first. I was quicker than you.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't about killing people. But there are, but I did come across people on there that it was about killing.
Yeah.
It was about, you know, the anger and the anger that's on there. There was a lot of anger.
There's a video out there called Vice City that has a modern day updated version. And it has where you're going through there, you're robbing, you're raping, you're stealing, you're doing everything under the sun. I mean, it's just a, and you get points for the higher you can get your felony, you can get your level, skill level up to, you know, I'm a 50 degree felon or whatever, you know. And to me, when a person's mind gets sucked into the alternate reality of this right here, where does that carry over to the real world? You know, how does that affect them? They obviously can't be going out there doing peace and love for everybody, you know, and then at night going in there just mopping everybody down. I mean, it doesn't balance itself out in my mind.
Since I've met you guys, and learning about the science and learning about all these new, you know, engines, motors, you know, all these things. I've been trying to slowly take away my son's game. And I've never been one to allow him to sit for hours and hours and hours and hours at a time playing the game. But now we've got, you know, he's making his own little videos to show how to do electronics. You know, we've got him going on that, and I have a pop-up bow coming to him so that he can check that out. So I think parents need to start teaching their children how to survive in a fun way.
Yeah.
You know, how to survive in a fun way. Not in a way that's, shoot this person to take all this. You know, say, hey, come on over here. I'll show you how to do this. You know, and maybe we can split this way.
And
I want my son to stop with the, you know, so much of the anger games and things like that and start doing more things.
I think the word you guys used earlier, may have been Thomas, the word empathy, I think that would be a good thing to try to teach your children at a young age to have compassion for one another. That maybe that little kid over there, maybe he's a little overweight, but his heart is just as golden as you know, the other. And so with that said, you know, it's all going to start from the children to break the chains. You know, we talked about the children over there in the war zone and the children that were saying that they don't want peace with Israel because they killed their mom and dad, you know. And that's a terrible thing, and that's something that them personally would have to overcome in order to break that chain. But until we break the chain to where, you know, people killed my mom and dad, I'm not going to go out and kill somebody else's mom and dad. Two wrongs don't make a right, so to speak. But until we break that chain, that cycle, we're going to see humanity continue to war. And most generally, the ones behind the scenes stirring the pot are the ones that are profiting from the war and the death and destruction. And you know, there's a big business out there. Like it or not, you could call it a conspiracy theory, but there is a big business out there. You can't sell drugs if nobody's sick. And instead of treating the disease, we only treat the symptom. Then all you're going to have is sick people buying more drugs.
Yes. Yeah.
Pity we couldn't hang onto the Ross machine.
Yeah. We still got it. We just need to rebuild it. You know, we need to keep the researchers motivated, and hopefully, Virtual Labs is going to be the platform by which they can do that.
Yeah, I think Virtual Labs is going to be a real cornerstone to the alternative energy and alternative medicine and all that kind of thing. And just on that note, that is very 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 close to being live. It is actually up at the moment. If you go to virtuallabs.us, you can check it out. There's clickable links and all the rest of it. You can almost get yourself into a lab, so you can navigate most of the page. And Ken's done some fantastic work there. I have to give him kudos for that. He's really worked hard.
Yeah, and he done this amidst a few struggles too. So you know, you got to give the man credit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Our heart goes out to him and his wife there on that one for sure.
Yes.
No one needs to. Yeah.
I think that we've covered a lot of good ground here today, guys and gals. I think that we've got a lot of good ideas that are on the table now, and I would love to see a youth version of the Knights of the Round Table. And, you know, we'll figure out a way to host them for their own personal radio show if they don't want to hang out with the old folks. But, you know, whatever it takes, I want to see that. I want to see the letters going out. You know, we can make one, like Colta said, taking all the letters and combining them into the best ways to make the most profound letter of peace to the world. And literally, I'll sit there and lick the stamps and put them on every envelope to send them to every single congressman and senator in the United States. If I may have to, you know, get me a lot of water to keep my tongue wet, but, you know, something.
Shazizz. Look. Can you at least get a wash rag and dip it in water?
Yeah, something. I just want to get the message out. Now maybe we can get those pre-licked stamps so we don't have to... It's going to get nasty after a while.
Your lips all cut.
My tongue will be stuck to the roof of my mouth. And anyway, whatever it takes, folks. We're coming down to the wire, so this is the time where we go around and give everybody their say at the Knights of the Round Table. And to my buddy, Muddy Mudman, I apologize. I didn't mean to walk over you earlier there. Your views and opinions are valuable here. So I hope that wasn't the case. I hope it... You know, I can't say I hope your internet went down.
Muddy's a big boy, mate. He's already actually told me that, yeah, everything's all right there. So don't stress.
All right, well, good on that then. Anyway, yeah. So, well, let's let Dame Shannon go on. I got it right that time.
Ladies first.
You did. I just want to tell everybody to have a great day and to keep loving one another and do pay it forward, but pay it forward every day. Every day and every minute you can, and smile more, and write your letters and send them in. It's going to be a good thing.
Hear, hear.
All right, and as for me, as usual, you can pop over to my website during the week. It's cultus.weebly.com, and make sure you pop over to Shazizz Radio during the week. Just give me a couple of days, and I'll get that link up there for you to submit your most profound letter of peace to the world. And other than that, everyone just stay safe, and as in the great words of Dane Shannon just now, pay it forward every day. You don't need an excuse to pay it forward, you just need someone in need. Simple as that.
Amen, brother. You know, this is your platform. Shazizz Radio belongs to the people of the world, and it's your place to come in and have your say. Positivity is what we're looking for. So, you know, we have the Shout It From the Mountain deal, and you can talk to Muddy Mudman, and he'll get your stuff read on air. We have the Most Profound Letter to the World. You know, you can get a hold of myself or Cultist, Shazizz@yahoo.com. Flood my email with whatever it is that you want said. You know, flood the chat rooms with whatever it is you want said. If you can, jump on a microphone and come up here and say it in person. This table belongs to each and every one of you. And so with that said, we got virtual labs coming up. There's so much stuff going on here at ShazizzRadio.com. Come over here and join in on the fun and the family. We want to build, borrowing from Shannon earlier, we want the family reunion. We want a huge worldwide family reunion, and you are the big part of that. So come on over, and thank you for listening to the Knights of the Round Table once again, and we will see you next time, same channel. With that said, peace and love, everybody. Take care.
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37, I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords, is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazam's the Terrible. Always will King Shazam's the Terrible. And